Psalm 119 tonight. Just randomly choosing. Psalm 119, and we are in verse number 57 this evening. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 57, we'll read down through verse 64. These eight verses in this eighth section of Psalm 119. Again, every section is named after, or it's divided by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and this C-H-E-T-H, the C would not be pronounced when it's in Hebrew. It sounds like a guttural sound, heth. And so it sounds like our H, comparable. But it's the eighth section, which would be H in our alphabet. And beginning in verse 57 down through verse 64, the Bible says this, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer.
Now, Father, we are glad to be able to be in this place on Wednesday evening. And again, we thank you and praise you for your provision for us as a church and how good you've been to us. Father, we know that we don't deserve it. Father, you've given above and beyond all that we could ask or claim. And yet, Lord, that is your nature, that's your character, and so we appreciate that. Father, we pray you would help us to be faithful to you, the things that we've been doing and we have done, that have caused your blessings to sit upon us.
As we begin in this section again tonight, notice that all eight of these verses make some reference to the Bible, to the Scripture, to the Word of God. Again, it is the central theme of the entire chapter of Psalm 119. And in these eight verses, we read in verse 57, the last two words are, "Thy words." In verse 58, "Thy word." In verse 59, the last two words, "Thy testimonies." The last two words of verse 60, "Thy commandments." Verse 61, "Thy law." The last three words of verse 62, "Thy righteous judgments." Verse 63, the last two words, "Thy precepts." And verse 64, the last two words, "Thy statutes." And so again, the emphasis and the center theme is on the value and the importance of the Word of God. We cannot overvalue the importance of the Bible in the life of a Christian. It is impossible to overvalue. You cannot be a Christian and neglect the Bible. You cannot live right and live holy and please God and neglect the Word of God. In the Christian life, the first thing that usually goes is the Bible. Folks will go to church because they'll make the outward show and the easy show a lot more than they'll make the Word of God their daily substance and their daily bread. But to live the right kind of Christian life, one that honors and glorifies God, you can't do it outside of the Word of God. That's the importance of the Bible. Now, what I want you to notice tonight, and we're not even, I know, tonight I'm not making any pretense. We will not get through the eight verses of this chapter. I'm not even going to pretend I'm going to try tonight. But I want you to notice something that we see that stands out in the first two verses of this eight-verse section. Next week, I promise, we'll get through the eight verses and outline these eight verses. But I want you to see something that I think is so vitally important. In verse 57, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." Those two words, "thy words," is different from the last two words of verse 58. "Be merciful unto me according to thy word." Almost identical, but a world apart. He said, what are the difference? If I tell you, I give you my word, you know that I'm promising something. You don't know what, but you say, I say, I'm giving you my word. If I say, I promise I will, and then whatever the blank might be, then I'm making a specific promise that is made clear by the words. There's a difference between the generalization of my word, I give my word, and being specific and saying, I promise I will. You see, they're both valuable. I mean, a man's word is his honor. And if I say I give my word, I better do what I say. So it is important, but it's more specific when it's into the individual words and say, I promise I will. What David is telling us in verse 57 and verse 58 is there is this difference between God's words and God's word. A lot of people will stand up and say, I believe the Bible is God's word. That's great. That is good. That means they believe the story of the crossing of the Red Sea and the creation in Genesis 1 and the falling of the walls of Jericho and the resurrection of Christ. When they say, I believe this Bible is the Word of God, they are basically telling us they believe what it says is right. But there are others, and we would put ourselves in this category, that say, I believe these are the words of God. Not just the Word of God, but the words of God. In other words, every single word that's in that Bible, we believe is there, and it's supposed to be there, and needs to be there. We believe in the words of God. David said in verse 57, I have kept thy words, plural. Not just singular in verse 58, according to thy word. So there is a difference between word and words. Does it make a difference? Does it make a difference to you and I if we believe in the word of God or the words of God? Look, if you would, keep your place there. But look back at Psalm chapter 12, and I know we looked at this recently. But as we think about this tonight, again, I want to emphasize this truth. Psalm chapter 12. And verse number 6. Folks, it is important for you and I to believe that we have the words of God. Not just generalization, the Word of God, but the words of God. What Jesus Christ spoke, what God gave to Hezekiah, what God gave to Jeremiah, what God gave to the different writers of the different books. Did I say Hezekiah? He didn't write anything. Anyways, to the ones that he spoke to and gave inspired scripture to. We need to believe we have the words of God, because David said, I have kept thy words. Not just the Word of God, general, which is fine, but specific. Well, John, could you get me something to drink? I'm losing my voice. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. It says here, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. What are them? The words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. What's them? The words. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. There it is. From this generation forever. Notice in verse 6, it tells us the importance of the words of the Lord. It just didn't say, the word of the Lord is pure. It said, the words, plural, of the Lord are pure words. We need the words of God. Yes, we need the Bible as the Word of God, but we need to know that that Bible is not just the Word of God, but it is the words of God. Look, if you would, turn from there and go over to Matthew chapter 4. Oh, that's good. I'm just going to sit down in the chair and take my time and drink that. Matthew chapter 4. Poor John's down there searching and searching for something. And he's going to come up and I'm going to say, never mind. I've been healed. Matthew chapter 4. Is it just the word, or is it every word? Notice Matthew chapter 4, what Jesus told the devil. When he was fighting off those temptations, he said in verse 4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, notice, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceedeth out. The words are important. Every word is important. When we read the Bible, we have the confidence that what we're reading is every word of God. If not, we don't have the strength to live the Christian life. We don't have what we need. Thank you. That's good. Matthew chapter 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. You spoiled it. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see what I'm trying to show you the Bible says? Is it is important to know that we have every word. Not just the Bible. Oh, this is the word of God. Yes, that's wonderful. And it is. And please don't take that as any kind of disparaging comment. It is the word of God. But even more than that, it's the very words of God. From Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation 22, everything in there are the very words of God. It has to be. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So words are important. Notice also, if you would, in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Notice what it says in verse number 35. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, not again, it didn't say but my words, plural, every specific word, my words shall not pass away. It is important for you and I to understand that when we read the Bible and put it in front of us, we're reading the very words of God. And we have to have those because we cannot live the Christian life successfully without those words. Now the problem arises that we need to ask ourselves, do we have the words of God? And this is what gets us in trouble, if that's what you want to say. This is what gets a lot of folks to think that we're a cult. They say the King James only, all that kind of stuff. And it's none of those things except that we have an honest and sincere desire to know that when we read our Bible, we're reading what Jesus said we could have. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not. Thou shalt preserve them, what? His words from this generation forever. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. We want to know that what we're reading is every word of God. Now you know and understand, because we've talked about it before, that the new Bible translations and versions that come out, I'm going to use the word omit, and I'll explain why I use it hesitantly right now, but they omit 16 verses from Matthew through the book of Romans. There are 16 verses in the new Bibles that are coming out, that those verses, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. The eunuch said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There are 16 verses from Matthew to Romans that have been completely omitted or taken out of all the new Bible versions. That totals 258 words from our Bible that are not in the new Bibles. 258 words. Now, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, we might say this, that if you've got one of the new Bibles, you've got Bible light. You've got the diet version. Because you're missing 258 words. In fact, if we put them on a scale, it ought to be about 258 words lighter. But not just that, because even 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, which has 22 words, has been taken out of all the new Bibles. But to cover it, and they wouldn't word it this way, to cover it, they've split verse 6 and put the second half in verse 7, so one's not missing. But actually, verse 7, there are three that bear witness, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That verse is completely gone, 22 words. So we've got another 22 words added to the 258. We've got 280 words that are not in the new Bible versions just by entire verses being omitted or removed or taken out. Now, is it important to have every word? It has to be. So what do we do? Well, we've got to make a decision. You know, either they belong there or they don't belong there. And you've got to do one of the two. But my problem is when folks realize these things and say it's not important. It doesn't really matter. I've still got the Bible. But do you have the words? The Lord emphasized the words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Did Jesus speak the words of Matthew 18:11 when he said the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost? Or did he not speak it? If he did speak it, they belong there. If he didn't speak it, they shouldn't be there. So one of the two is not right. One of the two is adding or omitting something. That's not, so you can't have both of them at the same time and say they're both the words of God. So we find that there are 280 words in those verses that have been removed in their entirety. But that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface. Look, if you would, at Matthew 5. And I'm just going to give you a few of these tonight, but I want you to see them. Just again, the purpose of doing this is to remind ourselves and assure ourselves that when we hold our Bible in our lap, we have every word of God. And we can have the confidence when we read it, we've got everything God wants us to have to fully nurture us in our Christian growth. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44. Look at the verse if you would. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now the next 12 words are taken out of all the new Bibles. The next 12 words. The words that are not there are, bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. Then it picks back up, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So 12 words out of the middle of that verse have been left out. Now the verse is still there. Matthew 5:44 obviously is still, 5:44 is still going to be there. But those middle 12 words are just taken completely out of them. And it simply says, I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And of course, it says it in a little bit more modern language. But those 12 words are missing right from the middle of that verse. Look at Matthew chapter 6. And we talked about this one recently. We have the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know how the prayer goes. In verse number 11 of Matthew chapter 6, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's where the new Bible versions end the verse. They don't have the last 14 words in there. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so there, we're light again, another 14 words. Now, those words, if you go to Luke where the Lord, the same prayer is recorded there, those words aren't in Luke. But they are here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 13. I had one fellow tell me, well, one is the Presbyterian version and the other is the Methodist version. But this one here in our Bible says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But if you pick up any of the new Bible versions, those 14 words are not there. Now, if they don't belong there, okay. But the Lord said, by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Did Jesus tell those words to his disciples when he taught them that prayer? Did he say those words or did he not say those words? If he did, you've got the right Bible. If he didn't say them, there's something wrong with this. Something bad wrong with this. If Jesus did not say those 14 words and the new Bible versions have correctly left them out, then this Bible is greatly and grossly in error. You can't have it both. You can't say, well, they're both the Word of God. No, we've got a serious problem if we believe in the words of God. Because we've got 14 that are in one that aren't in the other, plus the other 280 something that we've already talked about. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And verse number 22. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink of? Now the next words, the next 12 words, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Those 12 words are left out of all the new Bible versions. So they say, And you drink of the cup that I shall drink of, they say unto him, we are able. No mention of those 12 words, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. That's who's speaking in verse number 22. Do those words belong there, or do they not belong there? If they belong there, then we need to read them. If they don't belong there, they shouldn't be there. But they can't be both. Okay, you understand that both cannot be true. It's impossible. They either belong there or they don't. And if you and I have the confidence that this Bible is the Word of God, those words belong in that text. And all the New Bible versions omit those 12 along with all the others we've talked about. Look at Matthew 27. We're not going through the whole Testament, believe me. There's too many of them. But I just want you to get a sampling to understand. And you know, because some of you folks used some of the other versions before, and you know good people that still do. Good Christian people, their hearts are sincere, and they use any of the new versions. It doesn't matter. Just pick one. And the honest truth is, they don't even know those phrases are missing. If you took them to these different places and showed the two of them next side by side, they'd look at that and before they can catch themselves, their eyes will get about that big when they realize it. And then, depending on their sincerity, will say, wait, something's wrong, or it doesn't really matter. And that's what you hear from a lot of Christian people. It doesn't really matter. And I just look at them like they looked at me when they saw it the first time with the big eyes and say, how can you say it doesn't matter? These are the words of God. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 35. There are 25 words missing in this verse. Matthew 27 and verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. That's the end of the verse in all the New Bible versions. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Those 25 words are missing from all the other Bible versions. So if a preacher gets up and preaches and everybody just brings whatever Bible they want to, can you realize what kind of chaos that would cause? Because almost all of them aren't going to have them. The King James and maybe the New King James are the only ones that are going to have those words in it. But all the other new ones, all the new ones that are coming out now, none of them have those last 25 words in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 35. And what I don't understand is when people talk to me or talk to you or talk to people of our persuasion that believe we have the words of God in our hand, they get upset. Why are you making a big deal about this? Well, don't you think that the words of God are a big deal? Don't you think that knowing what you hold in your hand is every word of God, the way God said he would keep it, and that David said, I will keep thy words? Don't you think that's important? And if you don't, I mean, there's some spiritual blindness going on there somewhere. Look at Mark chapter 6. We're not even addressing the value of the words, and I hate even using that phrase. We're talking about the Bible. How do you talk about the value of the words? The doctrinal truths, maybe, if that's what I want. You know, like the verses that are missing, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know, a teaching on hell. The Son of Man has come to save that which is lost, a teaching on redemption. Those are the verses that are missing. And these words that we look at, you know, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? You know, the importance of the words. They're not just taking out these and thous and ands and what they say is wrong with the Bible. But they're taking key phrases and long phrases. Again, we're not even looking at in whom we have redemption through his blood. Three words taken out. We're looking at 10, 12, 14, 25 verse phrases. And we're getting these down. Not even touching all the small phrases. All the times just the word Jesus or Lord or God is taken out of those. So we're just looking at bigger phrases. Mark chapter 6 and verse 11. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. That's the end of the verse in all the New Bible versions. They leave out the next 23 words. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. 23 words are left out at the end of that verse. The reference the Lord made in comparing those that rejected the gospel to Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment that came upon them. That comparison's just gone. It's obliterated. It's taken away. You know, as a person that likes to try to read through the Bible at a good speed, I'd almost like to go with one of the new Bibles. It'd probably speed up my Bible reading really quick. Whole lots of words are missing in there. But we're missing the value of it. We're missing the substance of it. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Do those words belong there? Again, these are the words Jesus Christ spoke. Do they belong there or do they not? Do you use the Bible that has them, or do you believe the Bibles that don't have them? You can't do both. Look, if you would, in John chapter 8. We've just got a few more. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 59. Jesus said in verse 58, you know the story, before Abraham was, I am. Verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. That's the end of the verse. In all the New Bible versions, they leave out, going through the midst of them and so passed by. Now, of the ones we've looked at, you'd say, well, there's no doctrinal truth in that. No, there's not. But it's still 10 words that have been omitted or taken out of the New Bible versions. So if you want every word of God, you've got to decide in a new Bible version, do I have all of them and that one's added some? Or do I have them now and those have deleted some? You've got to make a choice. You've got to choose one or the other. Look at Acts chapter 9. This is the biggest one of all the text that they eliminate. Acts chapter 9. And verse number 5. This again is the conversion of the Apostle Paul. I've often wondered how he'll feel about this in heaven. When the people that translated the new Bibles get up there. And I'm not saying they won't be in heaven. They're born again and saved. They're just misguided. They're wrong in what they're doing. And they get there and the Apostle Paul says, hey, why did you take my salvation out of the Bible? You know, the very thing that gets Paul there. Notice in verse number 5. When the Lord said to him in verse 4, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord begins to speak. The Lord is speaking and said, the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now that is the end of verse 5 in all the Bible versions. So the next 10 words of verse 5 are missing. And the first 25 words of verse 6 are also gone. And verse 6 starts with, down at the bottom of the verse, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So it removes verse to the beginning of verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him. So there are 30 words again. We talked about the 280 of the 16 verses that are gone. Now we've got all these other 14, 12, 10. 25, here's 30 of the words that are completely gone from the text of the Bible. That's why the new Bibles could be called Bible light. Because they should be lighter. They've got all this stuff missing in them. 1 Thessalonians, just two more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I just picked some beyond the book of Acts. Just a couple of them just to illustrate. There again, there are many, 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 many more. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 Help yourself, it's a free country. And you can ask that person, do you believe that what you hold in your hand are the very words of God? Now, they might say yes because they don't understand your question. But you say, do you believe that that Bible you got in your hand, that every word is exactly like God wants it to be in the English language for you to read? No, it's just the best they can do. Well, the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How are you going to live if those aren't the very words of God? If you don't believe that those are them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you in peace. That's the end of the verse. No, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's very common in all the new Bibles. It's very common to take out the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Father or any combination. Take out the Father from God or Lord from Jesus Christ or Lord and Christ from Lord. They do that all the time. There's just thousands of those you don't have time to look at. Words, just specific words that are omitted. Lots of small phrases and lots of 10, 14, 12, 25, 30 word phrases all removed from it. One more, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 14. Revelation 5, verse 14. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped. Who do they worship? Him that liveth forever and ever. Not in the new Bibles. It ends at worshipped. They fell down and worshipped. They left off the last seven words of verse number 14. Worship him that liveth forever and ever. So the pattern is, and again, we've looked at enough verses to understand the pattern. We were not exhaustive in looking at them in the New Testament. The pattern is many, many words and phrases and verses are omitted in all the new Bible versions. They are shorter. The word count is less. They are not the same as the Bible you hold in your hand. Now, the problem arises with this. The argument of the defenders of the new Bible versions, their argument for, they don't call them omissions. There's one website you can go on and it'll say, missing verses, question mark. No, they're not missing. They don't belong there in the first place. So they're not missing, they're added. The King James Bible has added all these phrases, all these verses, all these words. But at the same time, what they do is they say, now we appreciate the beauty and the language of the King James Bible and its value over the last 400 years. And it is a good translation of the Word of God, but you can't do that. That's not honest. You can't say they have added all these verses and all these words and all these phrases and all these different things and still say it's a good translation. Because doesn't the Bible say you shall not add to the word, you shall not take away from the word? And so somebody has done something drastically wrong. Either somebody has added when they shouldn't or someone has taken away when they shouldn't have. Look back at Acts chapter 9, the one we looked at. And again, let me just give you their reasoning. This is the thing that astounds me above all this. I can set a King James Bible right here on my pulpit, and I can set every other new version over here on this side. These will all be in agreement. They'll all be in agreement. Now, the older ones, the Revised Version, the original American Standard Bible, those verses and phrases won't be out of the text. They'll have brackets on them with a note to say these don't belong here. But then starting about the 1950s, instead of just putting them in brackets, they just started taking them all out. It was just a process. And now all the new Bible versions, every single one, and they're coming out one a year, two a year, all of them omit all these things we're looking at. So the King James Version is different from every other Bible that's out there. And so the reason we're saying we believe this one is because we think those words belong there. We think those verses belong there. Now if we're wrong, we're misguided and wrong. If we're right, everybody else is wrong. And this isn't an us versus them mentality kind of thing. This is a desire, at least I believe on my part and your part, this is a desire to simply know, yes, I have the words of God in front of me. I don't care what you use. I don't care what you think. I don't care about your arguments. Help yourself. It's free. I want to know I have the very words of God in my hand when I read them because I need them. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now in Acts chapter 9, let me give you just an example of the reasoning of the New Bible Version people as to why these words are in there and don't belong there. In Acts chapter 9, I pointed out that beginning in verse number 5, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks is not in the New Bible Versions. And here's, I'm going to tell you why they say those words don't belong there. Probably, now did you get where they started? Probably, some ancient scribe when he was writing Acts chapter 9, had already read Acts chapter 26, where Paul did say that the Lord said, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And when he was rewriting Acts chapter 9, he knew that belonged there, so he wrote it there. Now again, they started with probably. And in every one of these verses that we've looked at, they have an excuse or a reason just like that. It was a scribal error. When that fellow wrote Matthew chapter 6 and said, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," you know what they said? He was an overzealous scribe. He got excited about what he was writing about and just inserted his own words in there. Now that's the scholarly argument for why the New Bible versions don't have these. They're not omissions. You have a Bible that has added to the Word of God. The only problem I have with that is, okay, if you believe that, then you're going to think that Bible is misleading. You're going to think the King James Version is disastrous and deceiving and terrible and bad, but they don't say that. They say it's a good, reliable translation. And you just look at them like, you know, the cuckoo hasn't rung yet. Because how can you hold two things that are in opposition to each other? One has added, one has omitted, whatever it is. Something is wrong there. And you can't take both of them at the same time. You say, all right, they're saying a scribe sat down writing, you know, the scribes are the guys that copied the manuscripts back in the Greek language. You know, the original manuscripts are all lost, and I hate to get into this stuff because when you look at it in your Bible in black and white, that's clear to me. When you start getting into the history of manuscripts and all that, it just gets real fuzzy because now it's a matter of interpretation. Now it's a matter of who's going to tell you what, and it's history. They can say anything they want to. You always got to be careful with history because people can make it be anything they want it to be and pretty well prove it by their arguments. You know that because of the way they've rewritten history of America and left God out of that. And so what they say is those scribes way back then, in their zealousness, in their attempt to borrow phrases from other places or whatever it is, they put things in there that didn't belong there. And we have found manuscripts, old manuscripts, that don't have those words in it. Don't have, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen." Don't have, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Don't have, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." We have found manuscripts, since the King James translators did this, that don't have those verses in it. And you know what they found? They found two old manuscripts that are the basis for all the New Bible versions that the King James translators did not have. They've been found since 1611. And just again, to keep it brief, because this is muck and mire, those two manuscripts are called Alexandrinus and Sinaiticus. And those are just big words. Alexandrinus, it's called that because it was found, Vaticanus. See, I'm real good at this stuff. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. The first one was found in the library at the Vatican in Rome. The second one, Sinaiticus, is named after Mount Sinai because a guy named Tischendorf, a German guy, found it in a wastebasket in a monastery at the foot of Mount Sinai. And those two manuscripts that were destined for obscurity were both rescued by these people. And when they looked at those ones that were just sitting there collecting dust that nobody was using, they didn't have these phrases in them that the King James Bible has. And so all the New Bible versions are based on manuscripts where somebody had taken those out. Now they say the old scribes had put them in. So again, it just gets into an argument about he said, she said, who's right and who's wrong. What you and I simply have to say is, does Matthew 5:44 really belong there? Does Acts 8:37 really belong there? In Revelation, should it say, worship him that liveth forever and ever? You've got to make a decision. You've got to choose. You can't have it both ways. Which way is it? Did one add it or did one subtract it? It's got to be one of the two. And so when we say that at Bible Baptist Church we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, it's not because we think we're better than anybody else or looking down our nose at other people. It's simply because we have the confidence that when we hold this Bible in our hand, when we preach from it from the pulpit, when we sit in our homes at night and open up and read it, we think that every word in there belongs there just like it is. And so when somebody says, "Well, I use a New International Version," that's fine. It's a free country. Help yourself. But you don't have all these verses and don't have all these phrases. And if it takes every word of God for man to exist, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, if it takes every word, you don't have them. You're going on a limited diet. You're going on stuff that doesn't have all the substance that you need. So again, we cover these because look back to Psalm 119 where we began. I was up in Michigan the end of last week, and I picked up a book called The Truth About the King James Only Controversy. And that kind of just lit my fire. And it was a fella giving these arguments as to why all the New Bible versions have omitted all these things, this scribal error, overzealous scribe. And every time it was, we think, or supposedly, or probably, you know, they sound like an evolutionist. You know, probably billions of years ago, this might have happened. And that's what when they talk about these, we think that scribes did this and did that. They never give the benefit of the doubt that the manuscripts their Bibles come from, maybe a scribe took something out. That's never a consideration to them. They never think that there was somebody behind it that took out the verses on the deity of Christ, about the blood of Christ, about the redemption of Christ, the word Calvary, the word Lucifer, through his blood. They don't think somebody took them out. No, somebody added all those things into it. And I guess I just think, okay, which would God have wanted them to do? Take out Calvary and Lucifer and through the blood, or add it? Even if they added it, I think God would have wanted it that way more than taking it out. But that's not what they did. They simply translated it correctly and gave us everything we wanted. In Psalm 119, again, verse number 57, David said, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I would keep thy words. Folks, I want you to have the assurance tonight that when you've got a King James Bible in your hand, yes, there's some old words in there. There's old words like sealed, C-E-I-L-E-D. There's a bunch of obscure words in there. And you say, well, if somebody else came out and just made a new Bible and just changed those, it's never going to happen. Don't worry about it. Because they have to make so many changes to get a copyright on it. And so they got to make more changes than just thee and thou in obscure words. It's not going to happen. It doesn't need to happen. You've got everything you need right there. The modern day folks say, well, you know, and this is humorous. They say you have to have the King James Bible, an American Standard Bible, and a New Living Translation. You've got to have all of them because if you read a verse in all three of them, you'll get the idea of what the original writer intended. I don't want the original writer's intention. I want the words of God. I want the words of the Lord that are pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, that God said he would keep them. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I don't want to have to sit down with 20 Bible versions, examine all of them, and then come out with what I think Luke meant when he wrote, or what Paul meant when he wrote. And you read all these new writers of the new Bible versions, and they'll say, we think Luke meant this, and Paul meant this, and they go back to the manners and customs of those days and try to interpret what people meant instead of just believing what the Bible says in front of them. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. I have the confidence every morning when I read this Bible that what I'm looking at are the very words of God in my language, exactly like God wanted me to have them. Somebody says, what about Spanish? Well, it's supposed to be in the Valera or whatever. I don't know. I don't speak Spanish. What about French? Well, Matt can tell me. He told me what version it is over in there. They're flooded with all these that leave out verses in different languages. I don't know about the language. I know where it is in English. I know it's right here in the Bible I hold in my hand. I don't need any other. I've got the one that's anything new. Somebody says, have you read the new one? No, don't want to. I can tell you what it's going to do. It's going to leave out Matthew 18:11. It's going to leave out Acts 8:37. It's going to leave out the ones all the other ones did and all these phrases we've looked at tonight. We have the Word of God. David said, I will keep thy words. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and eyes closed.